The confusing thing about this feast is just last week we celebrated the Epiphany, right? Last week we celebrated the arrival of the three wise men, and I had talked about how the three wise men, coming from the traditionally understood the three continents back then, the understanding of the world, was a symbol of the whole world coming to recognize this baby as the Messiah. And it happened in the persons of those three wise men, but a symbol of all the nations one day coming to recognize Jesus as the Christ, right? But then just a week later, today, we're celebrating something that happened when Jesus was 30 years old. And the question could be asked, why are we doing the Feast of the Baptism during the Christmas season, right? If the Christmas season is about Jesus being born, what's up with celebrating a feast when he's 30 years old all of a sudden? And the answer is this. This is what I'm going to try to unpack during this homily real quickly. In Christmas, we celebrated God becoming flesh, right? Well, really, to be very pro-life, God became flesh at the Annunciation, when little zygote was created and grew in Mary's womb for 9 months. So that's really when God became flesh, at the Annunciation, March 25th. 9 months later, December 25th, of course, he was born. But that's what we're celebrating, the Christmas season, God becoming flesh. One of the things I had preached on January 1st, the Holy Day of Obligation for Mary, the Mother of God, was that the whole point of that feast was not so much to say something about Mary, but to say something about Christ, right? That Mary was the Mother of God because Christ is God. And so by giving Mary that title, they were trying to say something about Jesus. They were trying to say he's not just a great human being, not just a great prophet. He is, in fact, God. And that's the whole point of this Christmas season, that God has become a human being. But it doesn't end there. God becoming a human being and sharing that divinity with the rest of us. That's the main point of the Christmas season. Not just that God became a human being, as marvelous as that would be in and of itself, but that God became a human being to share with us his divine nature. And that's the point of the baptism today. Question that's often asked is, well, why was Jesus baptized? Certainly it wasn't for the same reasons we're baptized. We're baptized to have original sin washed away, to be incorporated onto the body of Christ, to become a member of the church, all of those different things that happen in baptism. Obviously, Christ didn't have any original sin to wash away. So why was he baptized? And the short answer is this. Christ was baptized to make the waters holy so that when we're baptized in those same waters, we are made holy. Matter, the material nature, the physical universe, has become a vehicle, a medium for transmission of the divine nature. Christ has sanctified creation in taking it to himself. The fact that God became a human being, God sanctified the material world when he took on matter to his very person. But then, when he went into the waters of baptism, when he went into those waters, again, it was not to wash away his original sin. He didn't have any original sin to wash away. It was to make the waters holy. So that now when we are baptized in those waters, they have the ability of, as ordinary and plain as it is, water, like the most basic, you know, the most basic thing on the face of this earth, has the ability of making us holy, of commuting to us a certain divine nature. Now, we don't believe, as some religions do, that, like, we actually become God one day. We don't believe that, but we believe that we actually have a share, really, in Christ's divine nature, in baptism. What did we hear in that gospel today? Christ is baptized. We see a manifestation of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit in the bodily form of a dove comes down, and we hear the voice from heaven, God the Father, saying to God the Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Perfect manifestation of the Trinity. And I want to focus just on that one sentence there with two different parts. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. One of the things that we believe about baptism is that it makes us sons and daughters of God in the one Son of God. So God has only one Son, Jesus Christ, begotten, not made, right, as we profess in the Creed. But when we are baptized, yes, like I said before, original sin is washed away, we're grafted onto the person of the church, to the person of Christ, we're made members of the church. One of the other things that happens in baptism, and the Catechism talks about this as an ontological character, an indelible mark. We are, the person of Christ is actually imprinted on our soul permanently, can never be undone. You can never be unbaptized. Even someone who says, oh, I hate the church, I renounce my baptism, I'm going to become an atheist, fine. It doesn't change what baptism did to their soul. They still have the imprint of the one Son of God on their soul. Baptism gives us indelibly, ontologically, meaning at the level of our soul, the imprint of Jesus Christ. And what that means is that we are now, just as He is the one Son of God, being configured to His person, we become sons and daughters of God in the one Son of God. A great story, I forgot which saint it was who had this image, but had this image of a baptism, of a baby being baptized, and was able to see all the angels of heaven looking down, because as you know, we believe that, of course, all the angels and saints join us in every liturgy. Heaven kisses earth, right? You can't see them, but they're all here right now. And they're all going to be paying attention to the altar in just a few minutes. But this saint had this vision of all the angels and saints looking down at this little baby, this little bundle of original sin. And looked down at this little baby and saw in this baby a creature lower than them in the order of nature. Of course, angels are higher in the order of nature. Looking down at this little human being, lower in the order of nature, lower in the order of grace. Here it has an original sin on its soul. Spirit of rebellion, passed on from its parents. But then what happened at baptism, as soon as that child was baptized, he saw the angels all shield their eyes. Now, of course, angels don't actually have eyes, they don't actually have wings, because they don't actually have bodies. But this was the image, that they shielded their eyes because they couldn't bear to look at now the person of Jesus Christ in that baby. When that baby was baptized, it was no longer just an ordinary human being. Yes, it was still a human being, lower in the order of nature, but now higher than angels in the order of grace. Think about that. God never took on the angelic nature. God took on the human nature. Humans who are lower than angels in nature have now become higher than angels in grace. That God has imprinted His own Son's image on us in baptism. And that those angels could no longer bear to look at the person of Jesus Christ now in that little tiny baby. In a beautiful image of what happens at baptism, right? Little plug, have your kids baptized. But it doesn't end there, right? CCD, all that. Beautiful image of baptism. In baptism, we become sons and daughters of God in the one Son of God. God the Father is able to say of each and every one of you and of me, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter. Just as He said that of His own Son, Jesus Christ, at His baptism, this is my beloved Son. But that second part, and I'll conclude with this, that second part, in whom I am well pleased. Are we living up to the great dignity that we've received? The voice from heaven, the manifestation of the Trinity, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. of Jesus Christ? Is God the Father able to say that of each and every one of us? He's certainly able to say the first part. This is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son. But are we living up to the great dignity that we've received? We have it. It's on us now. Right? God has loved us first. God has given us that dignity in baptism. This is what we heard in that second reading, what we heard in the first reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. The great things God is doing for us and the great gifts God wants to give us. It's up to us now to live up to that great dignity.